Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our Old Testament reading from Psalm 79, and we're going to be focusing on verse 6. Pour out your anger on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call upon your name. Well, today we're beginning a new four-week series called You're So Emotional. We're going to be looking at some of the emotions that, we all feel, and see how, they can be both, a plus and yet also at the same time a minus. And so I thought I'd start off with, a biggie. Anger. Yes, anger. When was the last time you got angry? Everybody's like, as soon as you said grace, peace, and mercy, Well, maybe you got angry today, The alarm didn't go off, so you got angry. Or maybe the alarm did go off and you got angry. And then you're getting breakfast and, I burned my toast, and you get angry. And then you're eating your breakfast. Oh, you get a stain on your brand new shirt or tie. You get angry. Then, you're scrolling quickly through your Facebook feed and, there's a post from someone you thought was a friend and you got angry. And then your spouse or your kids are making you late and you get angry. And then on your way here, someone cut you off and you get angry again. Wow. All in the span of about, 2 hours? How many times did you get angry there? How do you know that you're angry? Well, tell you what, let's give you a definition here. This is from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, anger. A strong feeling of displeasure and usually of antagonism. Now, when we look at that, we realize that we may all get angry, but we're not alone in our anger. Everyone, and I mean everyone, gets angry. Kids get angry, as we just heard. Teenagers get angry. Adults get angry. Male, female. Oh, yeah. And we get angry over everything. We get angry over politics or religion. We get angry over the violence in our neighborhoods and in our world. We get angry over poverty, over the environment, over this, over that. And the list goes on and on and on. But even as we recognize that anger is a common emotion that we all feel, everyone gets angry. The thing is that sometimes we don't know what to do with our anger. We don't know what to do with our own anger. We don't know what to do with others' anger. In fact, it seems that we can become more and more uncomfortable with this emotion that we call anger. And we're uncomfortable because you and I can see just how destructive anger can be. I heard a story from my dad a while back about the destructive effects of anger. He was the second of six kids, and so he had an older sister, my Aunt Betty. And he told a story about how pushing buttons, how siblings are, until it literally came to not pushing buttons, but pushing each other. And so my dad stormed out of the house, and she followed and pushed him in the back. Remember what we did with the kids, the fists come up? Boy, he got mad. That was it. He snapped, turned around, and tried to push her right back. But in his anger, what he didn't realize was that he had come out of the house, and she had gone in, and that the glass door had shut behind her. And he reached out and went through the glass. And it cut his right hand, the tendon right there. And he's okay, But even today, he can't make a fist. He can't close his hand all the way. All because he did something in his anger. And, you know, that was a personal story, but, you know, you see it on the news. You see this road rage out there. People just losing it over the littlest things and hurting others in the process. You see fighting, and you see the violence, and you see the physical abuse out there. But you don't need to be physical in order for anger to be destructive. Oh, you can do it with your words. You know, your kids don't do their chores and you just blow up. God, you are so lazy. Or, you know, your spouse didn't hear what you said again and you lose it. You never listen to me. Or your friend, you know, sitting there with coffee or you're online and they share their religious or their political views, and boy, you pound that table or you pound the keyboard. Only an idiot would believe something like that. And you don't actually have to direct your anger toward others. You can also direct it toward yourself, right? All you have to do is just look in that mirror for whatever reason, and that face is speaking right back to you. What is wrong with you? You see, anger can become destructive when it turns into attack and you end up hurting others, you end up harming others, and you end up thinking that anger is just, it's bad stuff, it's evil, and it's possibly just downright sinful. Something to, at best, manage. Or something at worst to get rid of completely and totally. So that leads us to a question. Can anger actually be a good thing? Well, take a look here at Psalm 79. And if you want, I invite you to pick up your bulletin and turn to it. Because we're going to be looking at certain sections of this. Psalm 79. This psalm was more than likely written during the exile of God's people into Babylon. You know, when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he marched right into Jerusalem, right into the temple, and conquered it, meaning he wiped it out, he destroyed it. And this psalm was written in response. And boy, when you look at the psalm, whew, there is anger all over this psalm. You know, verses 1 through 4, when you look at those verses, you see the anger of God's people. They are angry that this has happened. Angry at the destruction of the temple. Angry at the destruction of Jerusalem. And they are angry of the bloodshed and the loss of lives. And these people were just left to die. Their bodies littered the streets. And so the psalm goes on to verses 5 through 7, and it's a prayer. It's a prayer for God to get angry about this situation. You know, he says, pour out your anger on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call upon your name. They are calling to God, hey, destroy these nations that have done this to your heritage, to your people. But that prayer is tempered with another prayer in verses 8 through 10. See, God is already angry at them, at his own people, at their sin, and their rejection of him and his gracious covenant with them. Yeah, the whole reason that this destruction was going on, the whole reason that they were littering the streets with the bodies of God's people. And the whole reason that they were even in exile in a foreign land, doomed to die there, was because of their sin and God's anger over it. And so this psalm concludes in verses 11 through 13, a solution to this dilemma. People tell the Lord, hey, pour out your anger on the nations, because when you do so, we'll be saved. So the Lord does pour out his anger. He pours out his anger on all that sin, all that iniquity, all that violence, all that bloodshed. He pours it all out on his Son, Jesus Christ. It is on the cross that the Lord pours out his wrath, his anger over your sin and iniquity, over my sin and iniquity, over all the nations ever, their sin. You know, as Jesus is, being mocked and derided on the cross by everyone around him, as the temple of his body lay in ruins, and as blood, so much blood and water just pours out of his pierced side, that is the Lord pouring out his anger on everything so that he can satisfy his own anger. He pours it out on his Son so that he can forgive our sin. He pours out his wrath and anger over everything that has corrupted his sinful, fallen world. And in doing so, he saves us. He saves you and me from all those times that our anger boiled over in destructive words and deeds. And now that Jesus is risen from the dead, you are saved from your enemy, sin itself. You are made his own people, the sheep of his pasture, so that you can continually give praise every single day that God poured out his anger on his Son to bring peace and humbleness to your hearts and lives. And that shapes the anger that you experience. See, I heard a story about a Christian father who was, he was raising his son right. Except his son, for whatever reason, I don't know, he was having anger issues. He was lashing out at his classmates at school. He was lashing out at his parents. He just seemed angry. So his dad was racking his brain trying to figure out what to do here. And then he thought of something. He got his son, and he got a hammer and a nail, and he went outside to their backyard and the fence right there. He said, "You feeling angry right now?" "Yeah." "All right, take this hammer and take this nail and hit it as hard as you can into the fence." And he did. Boom. "Feel better?" "Yeah, I do. Yeah, it just felt good to just let it go." "Okay." The dad took the hammer back and he pulled the nail out. He says, "Yeah, it feels good at the time, but look at the damage that you leave behind." But then the dad said, "But if the nail remains in there, the same nail that nailed Jesus to the cross, there is no damage because he's already taken it away." So he told his son, every single time you want to give into your anger and you want to lash out at others, just remember the nail in the fence, and the nail in the cross. That's how you can shape your anger into something positive. When you get angry, brothers and sisters in Christ, view it through the lens of the cross and the empty tomb. And this actually shapes your anger in two ways. It shapes it by actually, you know, pointing out, well, I kind of forgot what I was going to say here. It shapes it because it recognizes that anger can be actually constructive, right? It actually can be a benefit. Think about the times you get angry. The times you get angry is when something is wrong. Something is out of place. And you get angry about it. But through the cross and the empty tomb, you realize that the anger you should feel is what God is angry about, not your sinful, selfish nature. Okay? That's the first way. But the second way it shapes it is it shapes your response to anger. Just like St. Paul said in Ephesians 4:26, be angry. Go ahead, be angry, but do not sin. Your response can actually be beneficial for someone and not destructive. You know, when you get angry, you want to not destroy people. You want to restore them. You don't want to lash out at them. You want to correct them. You don't want to be harsh with them. But you want to be humble in your response. And that humility calls them to see, hey, God is angry at all of our sin. And we need to repent of that sin and believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. That's how anger can be shaped for the kingdom. So we all get angry. All of us do. And we get angry at many things. And we can be uncomfortable with that anger. But you know what? We don't have to be. Because our anger can be shaped by God's anger. An anger that He poured out on His Son to show His love for you and me. And this is a love that we can bring to others that we are angry with. So that anger is not destructive, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing of the Lord. Amen.